It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Street harassment is a public form of sexual harassment that many of us have witnessed, experienced, or perhaps even engaged in. For the most part, women are taught to disregard catcalls and lewd behavior when walking down the street. But what if it happens on a daily basis? Hollaback is an online initiative created in New York City to give people a place to go to vent or talk about their experiences with public harassment. It's since become a source of empowerment and a way to document locations of harassment all over the country. Four Pittsburgh women have decided to start a local chapter of Hollaback. Two of the founders, Akira Robinson and Heather Daugherty, bring the conversation to our studio. Ladies, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Hi.
And Akira, in addition to co-founding the Pittsburgh chapter of Hollaback, you volunteer with women's shelters and are a licensed social worker.
I am, yes.
Well, we want to invite our listeners to take part in this conversation. What are your thoughts on street harassment? We encourage you to share your stories with us. You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Again, the number, 412-246-2002. Heather, we'll start with you. I understand that you are from Long Island.
Yes.
You did not have a car when you moved here, so you did a lot of walking in Pittsburgh, and that's when you started being harassed. Tell us what happened.
Yes, so I pretty much commute on foot every day. To and from work, grocery store, coffee shop, all of it. And I've noticed that almost every day, whether it be in the morning or in the evening, broad daylight, at night, someone always had something to say to me about my body or what I was wearing, what I looked like. And they were never very appropriate. They would range from, hey, baby, what's your number? I want to marry you. Nice butt, nice legs. And I was always told, you know, just ignore it, brush it off, keep walking. And that never worked. It always left me feeling really upset and a little bit ashamed for not sticking up for myself. And in one time in particular, it escalated to a point where I felt cornered. And in the moment, I felt really, really scared. And so afterwards, I ended up calling my mom. Hi, Mom. And she directed me to Hollaback, and that's how I found it. I felt really excited and inspired that I found such a great community to share my stories with, but kind of bummed that there wasn't one for Pittsburgh. And that's what led me to these three wonderful women that I work with.
And Akira, explain what Hollaback is. For somebody who's never heard of this, what is it all about?
So it is a global movement to end street harassment. Like you said, it was founded in New York City. A group of men and women were just talking a little bit about their daily routines and their commutes, and kind of identified that women were living a very different life in the city than the men were. And so through that, Hollaback was formed, and essentially there are, I believe, 74 chapters all over the world, in, I believe, 21 different countries and 14 different languages. And what the movement does is it empowers each chapter to bring awareness to the issue of street harassment and also provide support for people. Awareness in the sense that we want to have a broader definition of street harassment, that it's not just men catcalling at women, but that you know, anyone can experience it.
Well, yeah, and that's something I wanted to bring up because this does go both ways, does it not?
Sure. I mean, I heard a story last night, a friend of mine in my network who had experienced street harassment. This is a male who had experienced it. And obviously, you know, individuals who identify as LGBTQ can certainly feel attacked or intimidated by just the way they present themselves and are living their lives and being in the public sphere. People could make comments.
So. Or a gay man or men might make comments toward another man who, whether he's gay or straight, just doesn't appreciate it.
Exactly.
Heather, I wanted to go back to your story, and I'm curious why when you were cornered, and you obviously were uncomfortable and maybe felt trapped, why did you not go to the police?
I felt that I didn't have enough evidence to have a case. I didn't know their names. I knew what they looked like and what they were wearing. But, you know, after it happened, we went our separate ways and I returned back to work. And my day was pretty much over from there. I felt alone and scared and really ashamed for not sticking up for myself.
Does law enforcement take this seriously enough, in your opinion, or do they fully comprehend the harm that you feel has been done by these acts?
I think it's really interesting and a really tricky thing to kind of legislate. For example, a woman named Adrienne just submitted her story last night, and she was actually a bystander. So she witnessed an older man hit multiple times another younger woman with a cane. And she intervened, told him to stop, and he said, "I can do whatever I want. I could touch you, I could touch her, and you can do nothing about it." She ended up taking the woman on a bus, getting off a few blocks down and kind of just calming her down. And when she got to her office, her boss obviously realized she was upset. And when asked what happened, they did call the police. And when the police said, "Why didn't you call us in the moment?" she really just – she was in shock. And she couldn't handle calling the police and getting this woman out of harm's way.
So getting back to Hollaback, how does this empower women in lieu of being able to – have the police or law enforcement intervene to your satisfaction, to the point of resolving this personal crisis for you? What does the interaction on Hollaback do to help alleviate maybe some of the stress of what you've experienced?
I think it's summed up in one word, solidarity. And I know for me, whenever I hear stories, because initially, whenever I've had, you know, experiences of harassment, and you know it happens, but when I had a really negative experience with harassment.
What happened?
So I was actually in, I was in McDonald's and had a positive interaction with this man. He was, you know, just talking to me, and it wasn't anything to be alarmed about. And whenever I was done, I left. It was at nighttime. And so I went to my car and he came out with me, and I didn't think anything of it because our interaction was positive. But immediately as we stepped outside into this dark parking lot, his tone completely changed. And he just kept asking me, "I want you to come home with me. Come on, let's go." And I just was like, "No, that's not that. I'm sorry if I let you on, but that's not what I'm interested in." And so I was trying to get into my car real fast. He pushed me up against my car and just started groping me and touching all over my body. And it was terrifying, absolutely terrifying. And thankfully, I got out. He left. He was like, "All right, whatever." And I put up a fight enough for him to get disinterested. And when I got home, I just thought about it. And I was like, did that just happen to me? Like, was that sexual assault? What was that? And so I was on Google, like, trying to figure out, like, what's the definition of sexual assault? Like, I didn't even know what had happened and didn't believe that it was real. And was scared to even call it sexual assault. And so I think when I read these stories, I'm validated. Like, yeah, that happened to me. It was wrong, and it happens to other people.
You're not alone.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're talking with the co-founders of Hollaback Pittsburgh, a couple of Pittsburgh women, Akira Robinson, whom you just heard, and Heather Daugherty, who moved here from Long Island. What do you say to the men who feel that they are, rightly or wrongly, think to themselves or openly that they are merely complimenting you on your appearance? And how could this possibly be harmful?
Well, we all kind of talk, and I have some great, great guy friends who I believe have good character, and they're very friendly, and they like meeting new people, and that's fantastic. So I pretty much go by this rule. If you feel that a strange man went up to your mother or your sister, wife or girlfriend, and said something that you have in your head with the right tone and stuff like that, if you have to pause for a second and feel, "I'm not okay with that," then it's probably best to not speak.
Do you find that that's how a lot of men get it? That when you mention, for example, I had a friend tell me once that I didn't really understand the harm in what I was saying until I had my own daughters.
Right.
And then everything changed.
Sure. Right. I think whenever you get a chance to live through something personally or someone you love has experienced something like this, it becomes your problem and you can become part of the solution that way.
Now, when it comes to trying to ignore it and it doesn't stop when you're being harassed, what are the consequences then of letting the harassment continue?
Well, I think Heather touched upon just that going, like leaving the situation, just feeling incredibly dejected and just disempowered. When you leave the situation and you don't address it in the moment, and you just feel the whole point of the harasser's intent is to make you feel belittled. And so in the moment when you don't say anything, I mean, that kind of just furthers that feeling, I think. It brings shame to you. And so I think it really is an empowering thing to teach people what they can say in those moments, what they feel safe to say in those
right.
moments. And yeah, to encourage people to do that.
Every movement has started from a small group of people speaking up and sharing their stories. And what we provide is an outlet for anyone who's ever felt unsafe in public space to speak up and share and become part of the proof that this is real, this exists, and Pittsburgh is such an amazing city. And if we could create awareness and stop anyone from feeling that they don't feel safe on our streets, then we have done our job.
And while we have a few minutes left, I would encourage our listeners to share their stories, 412-246-2002, the email address esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH. Follow the conversation at #EPLive. Our guests, Akira Robinson and Heather Daugherty, who are the co-founders of the Pittsburgh chapter of Hollaback. And Akira, when we were talking about these situations and have been talking about the situations where women are harassed, where each of you have experienced this, and when the harassment isn't addressed early on, how much of a danger is there that violence can escalate from that? For example, what happened to you in the parking lot at McDonald's?
I mean, yeah, it certainly opens the door for that. And I think it's also important to bring awareness that since street harassment is a broad concept, that it's not just the catcalls or the innocent catcalls. It's important to bring awareness to that so that you know, for me, whenever someone does innocently catcall at me, I tense up and I'm on alert a little bit. And I don't want to be on guard anytime a stranger approaches me. But at the same time, given my experiences, you know, that's what I do. And so I think it is good whenever, you know, an interaction is initiated for people to feel empowered to just be kind of aware of what's going on, aware of their surroundings, aware of the person's tone, so that if they do need to say something, that they can do so as soon as possible so that it doesn't escalate.
And what can you tell people? Maybe, Heather, you could answer this question. What can you tell people to do or say when they see harassment happening? Let's say you're obviously the situation you described mm-hmm. earlier was an obvious situation where men were saying things out loud in public. And so maybe there's another man or woman around who's seeing this happen. Mm-hmm. What should they do?
That can be a tricky question to answer because, again, most people are worried about themselves, self-preservation. They would never want to feel victim of an attack that way. But even just, you know, a nod, a knowing glance can help them feel not alone and just kind of acknowledge that, yes, that just happened, a knowing glance. If you feel that you can help and become active in that situation, go for it. Our other co-founder, Maggie Graham, last night was walking to a bus stop and saw a male and a female interacting, and the female looked very, very upset. So all Maggie did was look at her and mouth, "Are you okay?" And she shook her head, "No." So at that moment, Maggie included herself into the situation and said, "Hello, I'm so glad I found you. Come on, let's go." And they walked away. But the harasser did turn on Maggie and start verbally harassing her as well. she removed them both from the situation.
What would you say to a man or a woman, but probably, you know, this should be addressed to the men who are listening, who might, you know, who may not totally comprehend the harm that something that seems harmless to them can do. So speaking directly to the men in the audience, what would you say about someone who maybe hasn't taken their supposed compliments to women or what they perceive as compliments seriously enough to where they realize that they could be doing something harmful or, in fact, harassing women when they say the things they say?
Right. I want to bring it right back to, would you feel comfortable if a strange man approached your mother in this way? If, you know, they yelled this across the street to your daughter or someone you love, your girlfriend or your wife? And if that answer is no, then it's probably totally fine. But if you have to think for 1 second and you don't feel comfortable, then the answer is probably yes, it is harassment.
And Akira, we have just a few seconds left, but how is the new Pittsburgh chapter of Hollaback? How is it working?
It's really exciting. We had a very successful launch party on Wednesday where over 50 people came and just, you know, introduced themselves and showed their support. And we only just launched on Tuesday, but we already have, I believe, 10 stories on our website, pittsburgh.ihollaback.org.
And we'll put a link to that on our website at wesa.fm. I want to thank both of you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, Akira Robinson and Heather Daugherty, who are the co-founders of Hollaback Pittsburgh. Thank you again for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Have a great weekend, everyone.